Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, 405 on the dot. Watching the weather out there, Dave Murray says that it's going to be sporadic. Looks like it's spitting some rain downtown. Nick and I are going to the ball game tonight, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. You know what, though? I never really worry about the weather at a game.
Do you not?
No.
How come?
Because I think maybe you'll get this. Being at the stadium feels like being in another world.
It does. I agree with you on that.
And so, like, if it gets cloudy or a little rainy, I'm just like, I'm at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I'll go have a hot dog. Like, I don't care. Although, remember, like, 20 years ago when that big storm hit?
I was there.
Get out.
I was at the stadium that night. So, my boys were younger back then, and they had the Little League teams walk the field before that.
I didn't remember that.
We were sitting up in the 400, so we were up in the cheap seats.
Yeah.
And it was before Ballpark Village was built, but they had cleaned all that area out, and it was all big dirt and everything over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting straight across from it, so I could see that. And I remember that storm started blowing in, and I'm looking at my wife, and I go, wow, that looks really bad out there. And then they started having these sort of Dust Bowl tornado things come up across the street. I'm like, look, they're really kicking up all that dirt and everything. And then here it came. And it was like, wow, this was bad. So everybody started coming out and hiding under the bleachers. And I saw one of those big-ass hot dog carts go flying across from all the wind that was blowing. It didn't hit anybody, but I think if it would have, it probably would have killed them at the time. But they had microburst and everything that happened down here, downtown. But yeah, that was pretty scary.
Am I making it up that someone died?
I thought there was a
lawsuit because, like,
I don't know. I don't remember anybody dying at the ballpark, but they could have.
Yeah.
I just remembered that was a weird, freaky thing.
Yeah.
Just being there when all that happened.
Yeah. That's wild.
It was. It was pretty crazy. But I'm with you going down to the ballpark, even just coming from St. Charles and going down here, it feels kind of like a mini vacation.
It does.
It may only be for a few hours.
It does.
You know, the old joke, a bad day at the ballpark's better than a good day at the office.
Yeah.
It was like that.
I've said this many times on the show, but last year I made a goal of going to 20 games and I went to 40.
Wow.
And one of my big things was solo Sundays where I eat a gummy, I jump in an Uber, I buy myself a seat behind home plate, splurge on Dave, and just sit there, have a dog and some nachos, and watch the game.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty cool.
I could see that.
It's pretty cool.
Now, there's no way my wife would let me do that, but it seems like
I always make friends. I'm a very friendly guy.
I could
see
that.
And I always talk to the people next to me, and many times I was sitting next to someone, for example, this series, they're from Milwaukee, and they've never been to Busch Stadium.
Oh, wow.
And I would buy them beer and hot dogs and try to be an ambassador for the
town.
Now
you're an instant friend.
Yeah.
Brad Dean from Explore St. Louis is trying to pay for your hot dogs.
Right.
Going, thanks for bringing everybody. I thought it was really great. I saw him speak the other day at the OPO down in Main Street, St. Charles, and he talked about, and you may have already talked to him about this, but he's got stats on people who have heard about St. Louis, but they've never been here.
Mm-hmm.
So they come here on vacation, and their expectations, to be honest, aren't that high.
Yeah.
So just because of the things they've kind of heard about St. Louis. But once they get here, he said they go off the chart in terms of, wow, this place is so amazing. I really like St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it made me feel great to hear him talk about that, because it's one of those things, like with the World Cup and all the people you hear from around the world that are coming to America for the first time.
Yeah.
Seeing our country, or in Brad's case, seeing St. Louis from those people from Milwaukee who were here, who've never been here before. Seeing our city through their eyes is really refreshing.
Yeah.
Because you're tainted with all the bad stuff that you see, that you hear, you know, every time you turn on the local news and there was a shooting in the 100, never live in the 100 block. Somebody gets shot in the 100 block.
It's like what's happened with the World Cup people coming to the U.S.
It's it.
We're seeing our reflection and people going, this is the greatest place I've ever been.
And all the things that you take for granted. You know, just walking through a grocery store.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, these bananas kind of look like crap. And then we've got, you know, those, Avocado just doesn't seem like it's really that fresh. And they're going, oh my God, you've got bananas and avocados and grapes. And how do you get all this stuff in one place? Like, we don't have this.
Yeah.
Or for the people from France, you have air conditioning. This is amazing.
You know what, though? I'm a false prophet for St. Louis because I've never been to the Arch. I haven't been to the Symphony in 20 years. I've been to the Fox twice in 20 years.
Wow.
I haven't been to the Muni since I was in law school. So
we go to the Muni probably at least every other year, if not every year, to go see a show. I haven't been to the Arch in, Lord, probably 20 years or so. Been to the Fox. Normally try to go to the Fox at least once or twice a year. Like to get down and do that kind of stuff.
But I go east side a lot.
Do you go east side a lot? There you go.
Does that count?
For a baseball game, you mean? Because you love minor league baseball.
There's so many things to do in Saugeay.
There's a lot of stuff. Rich Saugeay's a great mayor. You got to love him. The tourism over there is just fantastic.
But Rich, how have you taken advantage of the city? It feels like you do quite a bit of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love going to Forest Park and the Art Museum and the zoo.
Do you know I've never been to the Art Museum?
Dude,
oh, you got to go.
Never been.
It's awesome.
Always wanted to go. Heard great things about it.
Well, it's completely free.
I haven't been to the History Museum either.
Oh, you got to go. The History Museum's really cool. I mean, they have like rotating exhibits, but the stuff they have there year-round, like the World's Fair stuff, is really cool.
The Art Museum.
It's a world-class art museum,
I would
think.
I'm telling you. I go there pretty often. That's one thing I'll do. I go by myself again, every time I go, as soon as you walk in, you're like, no, this is not in St. Louis. Like, it's so amazing.
It's really cool when you have those experiences. And like I said, it's nice to just kind of clear the cache, if you will, and get a fresh view of, hey, you know what? It doesn't suck. You hear, it just sucks is what you hear all the time, especially right now. People are running for office. Man, I'm so sick of people just crapping on St. Charles. And it just pisses me off because I'm like, we've got really great stuff that's out there.
What kind of craps are they taking?
Oh, you know how it is. You got a guy who's running for county executive, so he wants to point out everything's horrible. We got apartments all over the place and your taxes are through the roof and your roads haven't been repaired with this. And I'm like, you know what? We have the highest median household income of any county in the state of Missouri. We are the healthiest county in the state of Missouri. We've got an amazing Lindenwood University is the second oldest four-year university of the Mississippi. SLU's the only one older.
Yeah.
St. Charles Community College is doing amazing things. Our school districts are all some of the best in the state. I'm like, shut up.
Mm.
We live in a great community, but we have that in St. Louis too.
Yeah.
But we don't take advantage of that. And I don't mean to be such a homer and be, you know, so biased about things, but sometimes you just need to go, you know what? My backyard's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
People don't have this. And that's why, like you were talking about with the World Cup folks coming over, it's really cool to look at your community and go, you know what? This is pretty nice.
I think we needed that wake-up call.
I think you're right. It's just good to be reminded, just because it's in your backyard doesn't mean it's crap, and you should go take advantage of it.
Here is a political issue I wanted to talk about today.
What's that?
Let me look at my notes. I keep notes, you know.
Hey! I love the fact that you have the big ledger book.
I love it.
I
love it.
You know, my wife's a hairstylist, uh-huh. and she still keeps all of her appointments by hand in her appointment book.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know, they have software where you can do that kind of stuff. And she goes, yeah, I don't trust it.
I'm old school.
I like
too.
My book.
I forget what it was apropos of, but I wrote in my notes, American politics is completely corrupt. And I'm wondering how much of that is an emotional reaction from me because of the media I consume.
Yeah.
And how much of it is true. And I think it's probably about the Mitch McConnell thing, you know, like, oh,
that.
They're just trying to keep him alive until they don't have to do this or that and the Plattner thing. And he's a good guy. And I'm like, are we really the cesspool I feel like we are? Because I would love to be convinced that I've been hoodwinked.
I would tell you, you've been hoodwinked. And here's why I say that. The majority of people who I have met who have been elected officials generally speaking, they really have a heart and want to do something positive and they want to make their community better. However, it is frustrating because of how the system is set up. And a lot of times they get beat down. And the longer that you're there, the more beat down you become. And you become more of a cog and you lose some of your, what am I looking for? That bright eye that you had when you first got elected. And you're like, man, I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix that. And we're going to make this better and we're going to make that better. And that may be the good thing about term limits, because you do kind of get people out and get new eyes back in there.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, for the majority of people that I've met at all levels of government who were elected, they're really not bad people and they're not in it for the money. Because in most politics, you don't make any money. You know, the whole thing of there are people, they're all paid off and they're all getting money under the table. And my wife keeps going, hey, what are you doing with all that money that people keep saying you're getting under the table? Because we got a lot of stuff around the house that needs to get fixed and I could use that money. But it doesn't happen. None of that is going on. You hear the stories like the Plattner story, right? You hear that kind of stuff over and over and over again. And it's really the exception to the norm, but it feels like it's the norm. And because it feels like it's the norm, everybody gets painted with that broad brush, and it's just crap. And I will tell you, the majority of elected officials that we have in the United States of America are local elected officials. They're school board people, they're fire board people, they're city people. They don't get paid hardly anything, if they get paid anything, to go through all the crap that they go through. Those people aren't in it to be powerful. They're in it because they care about their community. They care about their kids. They care about making a better community.
Yeah.
That's the majority of your elected officials. So I would encourage people, don't be so broad brushed with stuff.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Paper lady, paper lady. Welcome back, guys. DG Ass on KMOX. Mike Elam is here. Mike is, what is your title?
I'm the chairman of the county council.
Chairman, there you go.
Chairman.
And we're going to talk about Amendment 4 and 5, but we talked about meaningless stuff. No, your thing about politics was really good.
Thank you.
And it actually made me feel a little better.
Good.
And it reminds me that politicians aren't necessarily Donald Trump and Plattner.
They're not.
It's school boards.
It is.
And it's thankless jobs.
It is. So don't get caught up in all the hype. Don't paint everybody with that brush. You know, there's only one Donald Trump. Some of you are very thankful of that, but there's only one, right? So hopefully there's very few Plattners that are out there.
Yeah.
And the fewer of those people that we have, the better. A lot of folks just want to do good for their community.
You think Mitch McConnell's alive?
I don't know. I've kind of put Mitch McConnell out there with the Ayatollah of Iran. Like, we don't really see any of them anymore. So are they still okay? Or is this like, remember that movie Dave, where the presidency kind of disappeared and they had a stand in?
Yeah.
Kind of makes me wonder. Are we going to have what's that guy who's a comedian who does the really good Mitch McConnell impression? We'll see if he comes back in or if he starts doing some phone in interviews. Oh, this is Mitch McConnell. And now I'm actually okay here.
Yeah. Casey Hunt, I think, had Scott Jennings on yesterday.
Okay.
And Scott Jennings is one of the people who's like, I talked to Mitch McConnell today. We talked for 17 minutes. And she goes, call him. Call him now.
Let's put him on and see how he's doing.
I can't. And she's like, just call him. No, send him a text.
If he's okay and you could talk for 17 minutes, he should be good to have a 3-minute phone conversation just to let the world know I'm okay.
Yeah. Someone on the show said it today, Rach. You may remember. I don't. But that silence invites conspiracy theories.
100%. Whenever there's a vacuum, someone is going to fill the vacuum. And the crazier the theory, the more likely people are to latch onto it.
Yeah, so true.
It's how it works all the time.
And people who are good at conspiracy theories are good.
I remember
watching the Loose Change movie about how 9/11 was an inside job. And I didn't believe it before, and I didn't believe it after, but as I was watching it, I'm like, I see why people are sucked into this. They're pretty good at this. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.